Yeah, I know you're all on.
Yeah.
You're a bit late on the returnal of
The texture.
Yeah, well, you weren't on the toilet again, were you?
No, I was literally just browsing the internet when all of a sudden I got your text. I thought, oh Christ, yeah, I better get on.
Yeah, as he said, he'd be browsing the internet at the same time. Freaking slow coach. Will! Have we lost Will?
Actually here. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, he's here. Oh. What was you doing?
I was on mute, okay?
Oh, fair enough, Ed. Why was it on mute?
I don't know. I don't fucking know, do I?
Why am I asking so many questions? Why do I care?
Anyway, be back in a sec. Get yourself a drink.
Right.
I'm actually going to have a good bit of a rant about rival schools as well.
Why? Because you keep getting your ass handed to you?
No, I played it, and after playing it, and I don't feel like going through it again with every single fucking character, so no, sorry.
Well, no, you don't. it's just the same as any other fighting game. They got different endings.
If I want to see different endings, I'll go on YouTube.
You cheapskate.
No, I'd rather just do that. It just saves me fucking time.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the RMI Fusion Cast, your great little place to come visit if you want to talk about games. Well, we'll do the talking and you can listen. But please do feel free to leave any comments. I'm Tony, joining me this fortnight as always is...
Will.
Andrew.
Hi, and I'm Mark.
Hey, we actually got it right this time, guys. Oh, I'm glad we did have to go through about 20 takes of that one. Okie dokies, right, so... We're quite happy. We had our own first episode up last fortnight, so we had to get back into the swing of things. I think we were kind of delaying it, wasn't we, guys?
Yeah, yeah, we were. Yeah, I mean, that was like our third time, wasn't it? We had to call the third episode. I mean, the first episode, it was like our third attempt.
Yeah, third attempt at doing it.
Yeah.
Especially after the first time when my machine decided to go, fuck you!
Yeah, it did.
And then just seized up.
Yeah, and then the second time we said, yeah, people around.
Yeah, that's true. Always annoying when you get people turn up. It's like, why the fuck are you here?
Yeah. Why are you here? I didn't invite you. Fuck off. And slam the door in the face.
Yeah. But as far as it goes.
Well, let's put it this way. If they were a door-to-door salesman, you know what Jenny would do, wouldn't she? Wouldn't you?
You will never see them again.
Let's not think of that so far. Okay. All right then. So, we are going to be talking to you about several things today. Our new school game of choice is Borderlands 2. Our old school choice is Rival Schools, classic Capcom fighter, which I say is rather underrated. But before we come around to that, let's have a little chat about a little incident that kicked off with the whole entire SimCity incident and what went wrong there. Okay, who wants to throw their 2 cents in first?
I can.
Go ahead,
I'll explain the problem is. Basically, for those who don't know, the new SimCity was launched last week, was it?
Last week.
And of course, everybody's all up in arms about it with the whole DRM situation. Basically, to play the game, you have to log in online, and basically it checks to see whether you're running a genuine copy or not. And of course, if you're not running a genuine copy, it will like disable certain features and things and whatnot, or you won't get on at all, which. It's the problem for about 90% of all the game players who've bought a legal copy of it. A proper legit people have gone out to get places like Game or bought it off Amazon, you know, a proper disc, installed onto their PCs, and then found out that they can't get on. like they can't play their game because the servers are so jam packed that they've not been able to play their game.
Now the reason why basically not a lot of people can actually play it is because the servers they actually run it are really really crap. Now basically the problem with Bloody World is you see when you actually start building your city during the thing, sometimes you'll like automatically disconnect and reports say that some players have to wait a very long time for them to get into the server. But also every time you disconnect from your server, sometimes your city doesn't really get saved properly. It kind of gets corrupted. So that's kind of basically made a lot of people very upset. But I recently just found out today that some hackers have made found a debug mode in the actual SimCity, and basically you can actually make it go off, play it offline. So EA has turned around and said, oh, well, we can't make it offline, but these hackers have been in debug mode and made it offline.
Mm. Yeah.
It's very, very true. There's a lot of things, and this is also another call on why DRM is extremely bad and how it's always punished the people who buy the games. Yes. But rather than
on the other side of the coin is basically not a lot of people have internet connections, so basically what EA is doing, they're also basically alienating the people who don't have it.
That's very, very true. Again, that's another dick move from EA, but exactly. Then again, they've been doing that a lot of lately, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Oh yes, they did it in games like Spore as well and things, you know.
Oh yeah, that was a mass
fuck.
Malk, what's your opinions on this whole DRM thing with SimCity?
Well, I think it's ridiculous that you have to have a one player game constantly online to play it. It's
that's
not
very,
the first
very
game that's used that, because the first one I know of that I do actually own on a PC, I own the original, you know, legal copy of it, is Splinter Cell Conviction by Ubisoft. Yeah. And that constantly checks whether it's online. Now, it got so bad because obviously my old internet connection was totally unreliable, as you lot know. Actually downloaded a crack for the game so I could play the fucking game properly. Because how it was playing it legitimately, it had just cut off all the time and wouldn't let me play it.
I think in the long run, I think Ubisoft kind of learnt their lesson from that one. I still think they've still got a limited ties, but then if you install it through their Uplay service, it gives you an unlimited amount of installs.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of it, yes, the makeup of the game is, why are you creating what was the best single-player style city simulator, on an MMO style mainframe. Yeah?
Yeah.
There is no multiplayer in that game. It doesn't require it. It doesn't need it. So it always brought round the whole entire conversation of why did EA do it?
And also found out as well that if you actually make a mistake, like in a road or building, you've just misplaced it, you can't basically undo it. And also, if you do a disaster, you can't undo that neither.
Yeah, it's true. Mind you, you wasn't able to do that on SimCity 2000.
Or many of the other Sims. So I think to undo a road, you had to demolish it.
Yes, so it actually cost you.
Yeah.
But the long run, the short, there's actually been a mass petition go up as well.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, demanding that EA remove that crappy DRM that's on the game. And they should.
So far, they need about over, 4,000 signatures. A lot of people have signed it, and I don't blame them.
Well, last time I checked, apparently it needed 4,000 signatures. Apparently 20,000 have signed it already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, they're pretty much being heard.
Mm. Yeah.
But it goes to the point, like I say, this is not the first time EA have done a dick move like this.
No.
There's the incident I told you guys about with The Sims 2 as well, where they tried to put a lockout on all custom content.
Yeah.
And it literally took 2 days for EA, after they got grilled by the community, to remove that. So EA, as much as they're a pack of greedy fuckers, they're not dumb. And I reckon they will do something to actually mediate this problem that's going on here. But just as a curiosity, what do you reckon should be done to them?
I think for what they've done with SimCity, they should be stuck on a skewer and roasted on a barbecue.
Well, that's Andrew's input. Well, what do you reckon should be done with them?
Basically, shot out of a cannon into the fucking moon.
Okay, that'll do. Malk, what do you reckon should be done with them?
I don't know. I've never played a SimCity game in my life. Honestly, haven't.
You've not played any of them?
No, not one.
I've only played 3,000, that's about it.
Yeah, and 2,000 is better than 3.
No.
But I'm not a massive fan of EA to begin with, to be totally honest. The only games I've got are games that they actually license, or is it, what's it called? you know, that they release for other people, because I've got the Crysis games, they're released by EA. They're not done by them, though, because I don't rate EA as a company anyway. There's so many games they could do that people want them to do, like, say, for instance, a sequel to Road Rash, and yet they don't seem to give a shit about doing what people want them to do. They just do the same crap all the time.
Yeah, mind you, any other company. Won't get into that. we've already got it. But mind you, we shall move on to this one. So to sum it all up, yes, we're very disappointed with EA because I was interested in purchasing the new SimCity, but now that whole facade has popped up. I've got no interest in buying it now. I don't want it
until at least until they fix it, probably.
Yeah, no, until they fix it.
Oh. not even when they fix it. I don't want it.
No,
I don't even want it when they fixed it. They really drove me out. And to make it worse, you can't even buy it directly from Amazon or Play no more.
Yep.
Let's do this and get either SimCity 2000 or play the original, or even play the original SimCity. I used to love playing the SNES version.
That was one of the best. Or be like Will and play the 3000 version, the inferior version for 2000.
Play the Dead Expansion version.
Saying that, have you seen Benway's view of SimCity 2000 on the Amiga? You couldn't get it to work properly.
I haven't seen that one. I'll have to watch.
Yeah, apparently there was a problem with it running on Amigas with O3O processors, which is what he's got. apparently it was a game that did run very, very slowly on the Amiga. It did, apparently, so it wasn't properly optimised.
Oh, well, that's usually what do, but I think the Amiga was at the end of its lifeline when SimCity.
Apparently the first SimCity's on the BBC. I don't know whether that's true, because
and on the Spectrum and stuff as well.
Yeah, it's on Spectrum
as well. It was on the Commodore 64 as well. I think it started life on the Commodore 64, I'm not too sure.
It started somewhere, but it was good.
Yeah.
It started off good in the 8-bits, and now EA have took a massive, great big steaming dump on it.
Yes.
Yep.
So, thank you, EA. We salute you.
Yay, my little salute.
Right, yeah, with one finger.
Yeah.
Okay, right, move along. Let's chug this on along a bit more. We've had enough bitching at EA. I'm pretty sure they're going to give us an opportunity in the future to do it again. let's move on to our modern day game of the time. And let's move into Borderlands 2. Right, Borderlands 2, sequel to the great Borderlands game. Not all of us agree on that one. I know one of us doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean to say he doesn't hate the game.
No.
Now.
Sorry. Oh, you meant me, sorry.
But let's give an overall impression. Mal, because you're the one that's not played it as much as we have, what's your overall opinion on Borderlands from what you have played, especially for Borderlands 2?
It's extremely repetitive. It's boring. I literally struggle to stay awake when we play it. It's just do the same shit over and 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 over again, and that's basically it. But the graphics are a lot better than the first one. I thought the first one was really boring as well. It's just not a very entertaining game, I don't think, because you just basically repeat what you're doing over and over again all the time, and it's got no redeeming qualities whatsoever, I don't think, apart from the graphics.
I forget.
It's literally the most boringest game, I think, first-person shooter I've played ever. Mm. Even I'd even go as far as say I prefer Call of Duty than Borderlands 2.
Oh no!
It's more fun to play that. There's some good bits on that. Not many, like on Black Ops 2, where you get in the like little tank thing and blast the fuck out of people. That's pretty good. But apart from that, yeah, I mean, I'm not. As people know what I mean, Black Ops and Black Ops 2. But, I just don't find that Borderlands 2 or the first one entertaining whatsoever. I mean, I just think they're just mind-numbingly boring.
Well, the other side of the coin to the argument, because the typical essence, it is a RPG FPS game, because it mixes the element, and you're not an RPG fan.
No,
anyway.
Not first person shooter, really.
Yeah, exactly. So that was his rant. Will your overall impressions of Borderlands 2, mate?
I actually did enjoy the first one, but when the second one got like announced, I wasn't really that too bothered about the second one anyway. Because, like I said, Mike, it does get kind of a bit repetitive. I don't like keep. Well, what I'm trying to say is, I did enjoy the game. I'm not bashing it or anything, but like what Mal said, it did get kind of a bit repetitive after a while. But it's like, at least like the second one had a story, it made it more like, you know, like the first one didn't, but that second one did. But it's just like, I wasn't really that too big on getting Borderlands 2 when it first came out, but I still enjoyed it. But it is way better than Call of Duty, in my opinion, really, because basically it has like the RPG elements, makes the game a bit more like you can customize your character any way you want.
The driving bits are pretty good.
Yeah, the driving bits are excellent.
Yeah,
because you can be able to shoot people down your car.
I do like that about it, where you drive around
and you can run them over as well.
Yeah.
So put them under wheel. Andrew.
My opinion of Borderlands 2, obviously I've played the Mac version.
It's the same with the PC version.
It's identical. That's all. My impressions of it, I quite like it. I mean, I've not played I've got the first Borderlands on the PS3. I got it with my PlayStation Plus subscription for free. But Borderlands 2, I've really, I thought, right, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to knuckle down and actually have a little play around with it. And I think Tony knows how I've gotten with it. I think literally you were playing with me, and I was just practically falling over all the time.
Yeah. Have you learnt to aim your gun now?
Yeah.
By chance.
It took me a while to get used to it first, because obviously you have to bear in mind that it is, it's a first person RPG, basically. So it's like you have to go around leveling up, and you have to do like all the little side missions and stuff and things. But it's kind of like, the problem is I had a habit of just following the main story.
You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it, but then you really struggle against the bosses and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think in a way, it can get a bit repetitive after a while, sort of thing. But I think it's a really good game. I've certainly sat down and quite enjoyed it. So, I mean, you certainly got a massive variety of weapons in there and things.
Yeah, over a billion guns or something like that. Stupid like that.
Oh yeah, but no, I've quite enjoyed it. So.
Well, I think I'm the only one of the team. I've actually done the whole entire game, and I've done all the DLC as well. I'm going through the second playthrough. I've really enjoyed it, because to me it's brought a really big breath of fresh air into the FPS area on that one. Yes, I can agree with you guys as well. Some of the odds and ends get a little repetitive, but I found the side jobs weren't as repetitive as the ones in the first one. The first ones were just all the side missions in the first one were just kill sprees. It's just like what I know. One of the ones in the second one is you have to escort a massive, great, big arm sort of constructor about. You have to get him to cut down statues, so you have to keep him protected. So it gives you that little bit more diversity to what you have to do on the side quests. Yeah, but like I say, a lot of it goes through. But one thing we did say, what remakes is the story and the characters, because where the original Borderlands lacked a story, it didn't have any.
No, it didn't.
Basically. But the guy who wrote the storyline for Borderlands 2 did an amazing job. And it also brought the original characters you played as in Borderlands to life as well.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get to know much about them.
No, you didn't.
But in Borderlands 2, you can now see their personalities come through. You now see what they're properly like.
Yes.
And it's the storyline as well. And also, I have to give kudos, because one of my favourite all-time villains was Sephiroth of Final Fantasy VII, and I'm afraid Handsome Jack now is rating very, very high
on the
bad guy.
Hats off to him. He's such a dick, isn't he?
Handsome Jack is an absolute prick, but it's the things he says to you, the things he... you love him for it.
Yes.
you love him because he is such a bastard.
Yeah, he said he had a pony. I think one of the first things he said he bought a diamond encrusted pony, and thought that was it shit for brains.
Pissed for brains. He goes, nah, that's immature. How about butt stallion? Yeah, what's even more immature than that? But like I say, when you do get a bit further, especially when you get some of the larger boss scale encounters, you do need to start thinking tactically about this one. If you think you could try and outgun these guys, no way. You can't do it. I went through the Mr. Torg's campaign of Carnage, and I went up against the Badassosaurus Rex. Oh. And that thing is insane. It really, really is. It does so much damage.
Mm.
And there's nowhere for you to hide.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you've really got to rely on your skills to blow that thing up. Mm-hmm. Also. But it's all in all, I do think it's a great sequel over the first one.
Yeah.
Definitely a great sequel over the first one. I'd like to see some more custom ability in the characters. I really, really, really would do. The characters you've got are nice, but I'd like to see keep the classes, but actually have a proper design your character feel. That would be very, very nice.
Yeah.
On that one. But and like I say, one of the other good things is with the talent trees as well, you can play it how you want it. I'm consistently tinkering with my talent tree because I got my Gunzerker and I just love seeing just how much damage I could do with his guns as quickly as I can. And yeah, I could do some crazy crap now with my character. And I say, when you play the second playthrough as well, it ramps the difficulty right up. So it's like, I know on other games in the past, it's like, oh, you've done it on easy and normal, you've got all your skill abilities, so you're going into the hard skill mode, you're on a level sort of playing field. No, Borderlands doesn't give you that luxury. Is that it? I've got all my guns and things like this. Yeah, you're back to square one again. I'm not kidding. My character must have a 15,000 point shield and a 22k health, and I'm still getting shot to pieces in 5 hits. So yeah, they learnt how to balance it all off quite nicely. And if anyone knows, we all just love Claptrap as well.
Oh, yes. the little robot. Our little robot friend.
Little robot that everybody hates, but for some reason you like him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I also put a point up for Gearbox as well. They were the ones who actually did a really good thing.
Yeah, they did.
The whole incident of Michael Marmoril as well.
Oh, yeah.
He was a guy who sadly passed away and who was a very big fan of the game, and basically they had a request for Claptrap to do a eulogy for him, and if you take a look on YouTube, you can actually see the eulogy that was actually done for him on that one. And as a second point, if when you're walking around Sanctuary, you can see him walking about sometimes.
Oh yes, yeah, doing his little dancing funny moves and
he's just hanging about, but that's actually one of the achievements for him as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can see here, guys, we don't all agree sometimes on what good games are, what bad games are. Like I say, Malk really doesn't like it.
No, not at all.
Not at all. But I still reckon he'll cut his throat rather than play Call of Duty.
Yeah. I do think as well, it is like good how you can all play through the main game to like have four players.
Yeah.
You can't do on Call of Duty.
That's true.
One of the good things about it. They should do that on more of them sort of games, really.
Yeah, but I do like that idea, but I don't want to keep relying on that all the bloody world time. Sometimes I just want to experience the game all for myself.
That's the good thing. That's the good thing with Borderlands. You can do that. You can finish the game by yourself. There's nothing inside that game that needs you to have someone else with you. The only thing you need help with is against the large bosses, ones like Terramorphius, Hyperius, basically the invincible characters. Mm, mm. That's when you do need help to actually beat them, because I remember I was at level 36 and I had to go at Hyperius the Invincible when he was at level 32 and I got absolutely beaten to death.
Yeah.
I did not scratch him.
Yeah. Also, watch out for golden keys as well when you see the codes on their on the website.
Yes, very true. Yeah. I think that was also a very good idea as well, because I know Aliens Colonial Marines does the same thing as well. They have a key system where you can get codes for them and then get yourself free items. But that little thing, just to give you that little bit of help to get you through the game, and it keeps dropping you nice guns and things like that. You know what? I'm going to get Mount to sign on his board now just so I can use his keys. I need some guns, Mount, because I'm going to borrow your keys.
Yeah.
But the golden keys in themselves was a really, really good idea.
Mm. Yeah.
For the... for the whole thing. And also, it keeps people looking at Borderlands-related material that's not with the game as well. Hmm. And of which as well, which I actually have two storybooks as well. So I'm currently reading them as well. All I want them to do now is get a nice set of figures for them all. I would gladly collect them. So it might turn into addiction, like my StarCraft collection.
Yes, we know how hardcore you're a StarCraft fan.
Oh, if I was truly hardcore, I'd have everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've got all the storybooks. I've got the board games, both the Risk and the StarCraft one. Which makes me wonder, I could sell that on eBay. So as far as I'm concerned, bring on the Borderlands board game. I'll go buy it immediately. Here's my money, take my soul. So the other thing we should say, which we also mentioned, was the graphics as well with Borderlands. Is like, do you really think that game would have worked with how outrageous it is with the guns and all that if it was done using realistic graphics?
Probably not.
No.
No, and the cel-shaded look of it really gives you that comical comic type film.
Mm. Mm. What do you think, Al?
Yeah, the graphics are good.
Mm.
Do you think you get the same feel as the game if it used realistic?
No, because it's too far fetched to be a realistic sort of looking game, ain't it? That's why the graphics do suit it, and I don't think the graphics are bad at all. I do think, and definitely they're a lot more of an improvement over the original Borderlands.
Mm.
Yeah. There was definitely a lot more in there. And trust me, you talked about non-realism. How often do you see a 4-foot nutcase walking around dual-wielding rocket launchers?
the little midgets. they're talking
really, really squeaky voices. Anybody who's playing that game, if you've got psychos chasing you, just try and hold them off and listen to some of the things they say.
Yeah.
I just had one chase me. He just sat there, French me, mummy. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, it could be worse. You could have Marcus out to get in.
Oh, well, it's like I say, all the characters you meet they've got such great personalities. It's like even Marcus is sort of your very unfriendly auntie. Even when you go to his vending machines. It's like one of the comments, if you shop anywhere else, I'll have you killed.
And he also says, you're a 1,000,000th customer, don't let it go to your head.
Exactly.
And there is one side quest that basically he wanted, like, was it a dollar back from some dead guy?
Oh, he gave him a 10 instead of a 1 and he wanted his $9 back. Yeah. The only part of the guy was dead and he didn't care because he wanted his money back.
He's just the Arkwright and Mr. Krabs of the Borderlands world.
there's a better one. Remember the scenario because Marcus got pissed and gave out refunds?
Oh, yeah.
There's actually a side quest where you have to go steal the refunds back. just gets to show you how much of a dick Marcus is.
Yeah.
But I think one of the other things that came up was Tiny Tina as well. How everyone said, "Oh, look, Tiny Tina's being racist."
How? That's what I could not understand. What's so racist about her?
Yeah, because she's speaking in ghetto speak, and I'm like sitting there going, "Okay, right. First of all, I don't really consider that racist." And then what you've got later in the game, you've got the Hodunks, and you've got the Irish guys.
Yeah.
They are stereotypical piss takes.
Yeah.
Yeah? Now, you tell me who isn't being racist. Yeah?
Hmm.
And I've done Sir Hamlock's Big Game Hunt, and there's typical tribesmen on it as well. So, once again, the game isn't being racist in all sort of aspects. It's just some bastard blowing things out of proportion, if you ask me.
Yeah,
there's always somebody somewhere out there just sometimes whatever that person say, listen, madam or sir, it's just a video game. It's not real life. It's all fake and made of. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Just for entertainment. I mean, get a fucking grip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. The whole side of it. It's all make up. Now say hello to my claptrap.
Yes. Yeah, I think one character we should also mention is Moxie's daughter.
Oh, Ellie. Yeah. How are they related? But the funniest thing about it is, do you remember when Wall-E came out? Disney film.
Oh, I see. What was it called again?
Wall-E.
Oh, the Disney film. Oh, yeah.
Well, they actually made a full-scale robot Wall-E.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah. So that gets me, why can't they make a full-scale Claptrap? and have it fully working. That's as well. Yeah. That would be awesome. Right, so we'll just ask honest opinion. Mal, who would you recommend Borderlands to?
I don't know, someone who's had a lobotomy, maybe?
Fantastic. Right. Will, who would you recommend it to?
Anyone who wants to get away from Call of Duty.
Yeah. I'd definitely say that one. Andrew?
Yeah, well, I'd personally give it to anyone who's a Call of Duty fanboy. Forsen's fan.
Yeah, I'm fortunate. Okay. I would hand it to people who are definitely fans of the... If you're a fan of the Borderlands, the first one, you're not going to be disappointed with two. You definitely won't be disappointed with the second one. But if you're looking for something different...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To your other average FPS game... Then I do recommend Borderlands will fit the tea quite nicely, unless your name's Malk. True, Malk?
Yeah, that's fine.
Exactly. Right. Right. All right. So that wraps up Borderlands. So great game, just not everybody's cup of tea. I think is the best way to round it up.
Yeah, you do have to be into RPGs to enjoy it. So
that's definitely true. Well, mind you, that's not exactly true because. I got old Daryl64 on YouTube into World of Warcraft, and he says he wouldn't understand Borderlands. You play World of Warcraft, you freaking numpty.
No,
what's there not to understand? Yeah, exactly. Right, just as an added bonus, you guys heard the tune that was playing during the introduction of the game, yeah?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm going to strangle you these days, I swear.
That's right.
The original tune was called Small Change Hero, and while I was digging around there, I linked it onto our site as well. Was a small little British group. I think they're an indie group or something like that. They did a cover version of it as well. So I'm going to leave you guys for a quick break while we switch to the retro section. I'm going to leave the video for you to listen to, or the music tune for you to listen to, and once that's done, we'll get to the retro section.
Running from
Okay, everyone. Right, I hope you enjoyed that. If you were listening in, and hopefully you didn't skip over it, because it's a pretty good cover track, if you ask me. I know these guys haven't listened to it.
Maybe I just don't want to.
It's got a woman singing.
So?
Dressed as Lilith.
And your point is?
If I told you she was dressed as Zoe from Left 4 Dead, it would be a different matter, wouldn't it?
No, not really.
Shut up. Okay, moving on to the classic game. Right. I chose the first one for this one. I know, because we're going to start spinning around, so Will's choosing the next one. And we will carry on each week, and every one of us the following week will choose a old school game. And I chose the my opinion, the underrated title, Rival Schools. Right, who wants to open this one?
I think you should, Tone.
Yeah, because you're
running
quite
it.
Oh, you know more than us.
Played it yesterday.
Right. right. Rival Schools. To me, it was actually a Street Fighter-esque game that was actually done in 3D by Capcom themselves, which at the time made me confused, seeing that they were actually licensing Street Fighter out to another company. But the main line story behind Rival Schools is basically something's going on in Justice High School, and various different students from each school are going around thumping the shit out of each other. Just sounds like good old rules of the schoolyard, doesn't it?
Yeah, any better.
Oi, me, yeah, oi, me, you, after school. So, I'll see you outside, son.
Yeah, and I'm going to put a Hadouken on you.
Yeah, but like I said, the main contingency of the cast of Rival Schools characters, yes, are actually school kids. is it me, guys, or does this just seem to be something immorally wrong with kids kicking the shit out of each other?
Yeah.
Not that I'm complaining.
Have you got something problem sorted out? Fisticuffs.
Yeah. Fisticuffs, yeah. What about Shomer and his giant baseball bat? but no, overall, it's a very well balanced fighting game. And when I do mention it to a lot of people, they sit there with like the fact that they've just been lobotomized. Like, huh? everyone seems to have heard of Street Fighter EX, but they hadn't heard of this one. And that to me, in essence, really makes me sad. Now I recently introduced you guys to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll go with Malk first, and let's give his impressions on how he thought the game was.
I thought it was a lot better than I originally thought of it, because I've got it on the Sega Dreamcast, the sequel, I think. Oh, what's it called? Yes, Project Justice. But because my Dreamcast is such crappy picture quality, linking it to my HDTV, I've never really played it that much. I've just got the game, you know, bought the game, but never played it a lot, so I didn't originally think much to it at all. But then when I started playing it again on the PlayStation and on my own, I got really into it. I thought it was pretty good, because you choose two characters, and then between the rounds it gives you the option to switch to the other character if you want. And it does play really well. Some of the graphics do look a bit dodgy on the bigger characters, but then it's a PlayStation game, ain't it? So it's going to...
Yeah, I think it came out around 96.
Yeah, about 96, I think.
Or a bit later, I think it's a bit later,
96.
Like
98,
something like that.
Yeah, 96, 98.
Yeah,
why are you doing that one? Andrew, give us your quick first-time opinions on it.
I suck at it.
Yeah, we know that from the other night. The way you were the only person that was screaming louder than you was Will.
and then he found out later in the evening I was playing on like the easiest difficulty setting. It's quite a tough game. I've got to admit it. I mean I've never been the best at beat 'em ups. It's a pretty good game. I think the graphics, for a PS1 game, they're pretty good. And they're moving nice and smooth and things and whatnot. The characters are really good. I like the characters as well, especially like playing the old what's the face, the cheerleader.
Tiffany.
Yeah, that's why. I love the way that the tagging works in this one. It's like, because it's like in games like Tekken Tag Tournament, you could just switch between the characters whenever you like. Whereas this one, you're switched to just doing it in between the rounds. But you can of course like pull off dual techniques sort of thing. Yeah, so it's like the two of you can get together and just do this one special move on the other character, which is great when you're doing it, but when your computer player is doing it to you,
it sucks when you're going to suffer some pain.
It's a pretty good beat 'em up. I still think Tekken 3 is my favourite, but overall, Rival Schools is a pretty good one. And I think the best thing about it is how the tagging works. It's one I've certainly enjoyed.
Oh, definitely. Mm. Right, we'll move on. Will, your impressions on it?
Well, I'm not a very huge fighting game fan. I'm never really a huge fan of the Capcom fighting games, neither. But I do enjoy playing like Tekken and Mortal Kombat and bit of Street Fighter and like that. But I did recently complete it like today through the chapter mode, but after like playing it I just didn't really feel like I want to play it again. It's just the tag system is good, it's really cool, but it's pretty like you only can change like your character at the end of each of the round. That's okay, but it kind of feels like I like tagging different ones in and out just to make it a bit more interesting. There's one thing I didn't really like about it. It's like in Tekken 3, it's like you can pause the game and look at the move list, but I wish they had that in Rival School so I could understand the game, you know, the moveset more easier. I know you can go for in training mode, but I just don't feel like going through that. I'd just rather just press pause, look at the move list, and it'd be easy for me to play it.
I agree with that, actually, because if you're not used to the game, and that was the first time I ever played it properly, I didn't know what the moves were either. I just basically just guessed, like, and there's probably loads of moves I didn't know how to do.
Yeah, so yeah, it's the same here with me as well. A lot of the time I'm just pressing random buttons.
I found out in 1997, by the way.
97, so it was in the middle, we were both wrong.
No.
Also, you might see one of the characters that also appeared in Street Fighter as well.
Yeah, that's right, the annoying one, Sakura.
Yeah.
Yep, who has to be... a friend of either Hinata's or... Yeah, I think it's Hinata, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. She was Google first, Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah, and another thing Street Fighter related, Batsu, he's got Ryu and Ken's Dragon Ball punch as well, and you put it off in exactly the same way.
The good thing with the game is if you're familiar with movesets with Street Fighter and everything like that, then you can pretty much pick up the game very fast.
Mm. There was one thing that really bugged me as well, that why could they just use the Rival Schools engine and convert it to a 3D Street Fighter game?
That is always a question that I always ask.
Yeah.
And it's now I know, Malk, you like the Street Fighter EX series.
I like the second one. I don't like the first one very much, and the third one is abysmal.
That is very true.
It doesn't know what it wants to be. In fact, I'll do a review of that if you want, because I've got that on the PS2.
Yeah, definitely on that one. EX3 was very good.
It was a complete fucking letdown. Because EX2 is superb, I think, and I was expecting 3 to be even better. Graphically, it's good. That's about it.
Yeah, on that one. But it does beg to put a question up. It's like when you look at how good Rival Schools is, you're like sitting there. It's like why didn't you do the Street Fighter game yourself in 3D?
Yeah, and use that engine use that engine and upgrade it somewhere.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's how I think. But like I say, Rival Schools also has some other very nice features as well. If you get things like the tardy counter, so if you both hit each other with a hard punch, and then you basically it will cancel both out, and both of you will get a bar on your super meter.
Yeah.
So if you've got good players, you can sit there and rack up 9 super bars very easily, just countering each other. Mm. And also with your team up moves as well, depending on who your partner is, will also depend on how they react as well. Because you guys only played it through one, but different people do different things. If you look at the first school, if you're using Batsu and Kioski, if you hit with that one, they'll both attack at the same time. But if you have Hinata as your backup partner, you'll basically knock the person away, not do much damage to him, but you'll get about 5 or 6 super bars back. So you get your thing for expiring the move returned, and then you've got super moves at your disposal as well. Mm. So that's it. And there's another character as well, things like Kyoko. She can actually heal the character back up again.
Yeah.
So like I say, all dependent upon who your partner is. So you can use it to your advantage. So if you know you're a sort of player that takes a lot of heavy damage, it will always be good to take someone like Kyoko or Tiffany in, who's going to get your health back up again by using their team-up move on that one. Or if you like playing with your super moves a lot, then of course you take someone like Hinata, who could give you 5 bars back very easy. So it does open that avenue for tactics that little bit better. And where the student switch thing is nice in single player, it works a lot better on two player mode. Because especially because if you'll sit there and you get used to one person using one character, then next round he's switched out, your tactics have got to change. So it does keep you on your toes that little bit more. But like I say, overall the graphics for the time I thought were pretty good.
Yeah, same, yeah.
On that one.
They were
pretty good. At the time, was Tekken 3 out by then?
I think so. Probably
Tekken
maybe.
3 was out in, wait a sec, I can see in 98,
I think it was, isn't it?
No, it came out on the arcade in 99. No, it didn't come out on the arcade. I can't remember now.
Wait a sec, I was just looking now.
So
Tekken 3 came out in 96, a year before that.
A year before? Yeah. Okay, so you could see where they were basically on par with each other.
Yeah.
Graphical wise, on that one. So and like I say, the PlayStation edition of Rival Schools as well also came on 2 discs, which you guys saw. They had one version which was the standard arcade version, and they had the Special Evolution version which had a whole host of extra features on it.
Yeah, that's
including additional characters as well, which went on the arcade version. Because one of my particular favourite ones is the Batsu's teacher. Their one, because basically if you trigger his team up move, instead of he gives you your super bars, but basically you knock your character aside and then he starts making your character do press ups. and then what makes it even worse is after you've done last press, he actually hits you and gets you back up again. So it's like, wow.
I didn't actually play the Evolution disc.
That's the one I've played.
Yeah, the Evolution disc kept crashing on Malk's emulator from the release.
I only played like the original, the first disc.
The original worked fine.
The Evolution crashed every time. I switched character, it just crashed for some reason. I don't know why.
So the one I played is the Evolution one. I've got that working.
And if you can get a hold of it, it's a pretty rare game now. If you can actually get a hold of Project Justice on the Dreamcast, which Malk is lucky to own a copy, it basically is the continuing story from the first one. Lots of new characters in it, including the rumoured there's actually one character called Ran Hibiki. Have a guess whose daughter that's rumoured to be?
Dan's.
Yeah. It's rumoured to be Dan's daughter.
Oh.
So, a little cross reference in there, don't you think?
Yeah, to Street Fighter Alpha and Street Fighter 4, and that.
Yeah. Mm. And the good thing I liked about Rival Schools 2 is when you do the storyline, it plays by schools.
Yeah.
But as the storyline progresses, characters could drop in and out.
Yeah.
So I know Gorin High School, the one with the guy with Shoma and Natsu and that lot. There's points in this where we actually spend one of the matches actually smashing each other in. And then when you get to the end of the storyline, you've got a choice of 5 characters. of which you take 3 in. And in this game, you actually choose 3.
Because with the Rival Schools, I only play the arcade disc.
And the arcade disc is good enough.
Yeah.
But like I say, with Project Justice, you actually have a choice of three characters you've got to take with you.
Oh.
And not only have you got a two-player team up, if you've got three bars, you can actually get all three of them in.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So you can have three people kicking someone's ass. Yeah, it's very unfair, but it's all amusing. And also has possibly the best way to unlock a character on it as well, because everyone plays a fighting game. So what's the usual method in of unlocking characters on a fighting game?
You just beat them.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
unlock every on Tekken every time you complete it. With a different character, you get a different boss.
Yeah, exactly. But with if you want to get Burning Batsu up, which is his version, it's like a super version of him. You play the game as normal. You select Batsu as normal. Then when you get into the fight with the girls' school, the one character called Zaki, you have to deliberately lose to her. If you beat her, it doesn't work. Then when you lose to her, then you finish the fight off as normal. Then what happens is the storyline changes and Batsu leaves the team, so you get a different fork of the story. And then later on, when he comes back, you get his super version of him, and then afterwards, then it's unlocked. But it was just that little twist in the story of having to actually lose.
Yeah, that's quite clever.
Yeah.
To get a character up. So I was thinking, it's like, because it took me, I had all the characters up. And I was sitting there, and I knew he was the character. I was like, how do I do this? I've completed the game with every character, and he's still not up. And then when I actually read it in the magazine, it says, oh, by the way, you've got to lose to him. So it was very, very strange on that one, but it was definitely a good difference on there. So, guys, would you say it's, how can I put this one? Would you say it's a bit of a hidden classic, that one?
Yeah, I would say it's hidden classic as well, but it still begs the question why they couldn't use it for 3D Street Fighter game. It's not, it's a good game, but if you're a huge fighter fan, don't pass this one down.
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought it was definitely a lot better than I originally thought it was, but I was still, personally myself, it's not my favourite fighter on the PlayStation, but it's definitely a lot better than some of them I've played.
Anyone ever played Evil Zone?
Plasma Sword, shit as well. You ever played Plasma Sword? That's rubbish.
I've actually got that on disc.
The first one's called Star Gladiator, I think, or is it the same?
It changed. I think.
Yeah, I didn't like them at all. They were crap, weren't they? Capcom's made some crap games as well.
I tell you that's a podcast we should do. Crap 3D fighting games.
Crapcom.
Classics.
Well, most of Toshinden games are shit, I think.
Yeah, that's very true. But mind you, Capcom licensed one of them as well, didn't they?
After the arcade, Toshinden 2.
No, it wasn't 2, I think it was 3.
No, it's 2. Yeah, it's definitely Battle Arena Toshinden 2.
Oh, there you go.
3 never came out on the arcade.
Yeah, it's definitely true. So everyone, look forward to the Crapcom fighting podcast.
I could do one about crap fighting games, because they... fucking low. There's more crap good ones, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, Andrew, your opinion, is it one of those little classics that a lot of people have missed?
It's certainly different to a lot of fighters. I mean, obviously, the way the tagging system works and things, yeah, that's quite original. And also how you unlock characters and how you do the story and stuff, like, for example, yeah, if you want to unlock this character, as you said, you got to lose to them and things and whatnot. So it's certainly a very different fighting game. But yeah, if you love your fighting games, don't pass this one. You know, give it a go. It's quite a good one.
Yeah, definitely is. And I think it came out roughly around a year between that and Street Fighter Alpha 3 as well. So when you had Tekken was pretty much dominating the market as well. And as far as it goes, I saw my only real alternative to that was Rival Schools, because I used to play it a lot with my mates, and yeah, they used to just line up and get hammered by me. So as far as it goes for the saying that one, the pain never
stops. That's something I wanted to say, actually. I know it's going totally off the subject, but it's sort of on the same subject. Did anyone watch that video Glenn put up where we found Street Fighter 2 arcade machine?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't.
I did.
No, And he didn't take it home?
No, it was I believe it's a main machine though. Because one of the games didn't work and it was Ghosts and Goblins and it had an arrow on the screen. So, you know, like your PC mouse arrow.
I still would have grabbed it. But mind you, random thing. Who saw Guru Larry's latest video?
Oh, the fighting thing.
I cannot believe he has two of them.
Yeah.
He has two Fighting Mania Fist of the North Star machines.
When we went to Southend, the first arcade that we didn't go in totally, they've got Fighting Mania Fist of the North Star in there. Because I used to play that every year I went to Southend.
Yeah, and we played it when we went down the Trophy.
Yeah, exactly. See, I like them sort of games. There's that. There's Supersonic Blast Man, which is basically... It's got the one thing, but you punch it. In fact, I had a go at that, didn't I? You've seen that.
Yeah, that was fun.
There's this arm wrestling game, that's on MAME as well, Arm Champs 2, where you basically arm wrestle. It's got like a metal arm on the cabinet, and you arm wrestle it. And that's fucking brilliant on the arcade, but obviously, because it hasn't got the arm on MAME, you can't play it properly.
No, you can't play it properly. So it makes you wonder, why did you bother emulating it?
Emulate that Fist of the North Star, believe it or not, but I don't think it works properly. But it wouldn't even if it did, because you physically ain't got the things to punch, have you?
You can punch the keys.
It's not the same, though, is it? See,
play that R key.
They should do something like that, because it could be like a sort of fitness thing, ain't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely work the top half of the bottle, but sit there punching the crap out of your main cabinet. But you speak of emulating for that one. I reckon it could be. They could probably easily produce graphical pads or something like that, because I know certain games they have created additional graphical options for it. So I reckon it could be done, and just full of six buttons, just have QAZ, WSX.
Yeah, but it's not the same, though, is it?
No, it's not as fun as touching it, you know, put it that way.
It's a little keyboard.
Oh, definitely.
And how they physically, like, pop out before you hit them.
Keyboard abuse
one
for the
thing they were, I think it was either Wes or Larry said about putting on the things that go over your knuckles. Well, when the one at Southend ain't got them, some bastards nicked them, so you actually punch the thing. It don't hurt your hands that much, really.
No, it doesn't. But then again, you can push it as well. You don't really need to punch it, but you can just push it and all. Because I saw one guy once, and he was just pushing them very rapidly.
Mm. Yeah, but where's the fun in that?
Yeah.
It's like when you were playing it, when you were cheating and doing it with one hand.
That's not cheating, that's just show how much awesomely skilled I am. I could do it with one hand, I don't need to.
That's a good point.
things like that.
Shut up. That video's still not on the internet anymore, is it, when we went to the Trocadero and played on that?
No, I don't think it is.
No, I haven't got it anymore because my computer crashed.
Oh. Okay, people, let's round this up now. Thanks everyone for joining us again. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're not going anywhere far, so we'll be back again in another fortnight to torture you with we're having a relook over Duke Nukem Forever, I do believe.
Yes. And more things like that.
Yeah. And more things like that. And what was our choice for classic gaming?
Pokemon, yes.
Yes, unfortunately, this will be the part of the show where unfortunately Malk will go a bit silent.
Well, I've never played any Pokemon games ever, and I've never really watched a cartoon that much, because what I've seen of it, I didn't understand it. But I will try and play some before we do the show.
That's okay then.
I've played them quite a bit, but I never actually sat down and actually finished them properly, you know what I mean? But yeah, I've got a fairly decent way through them all, so...
Exactly, I play very few ones. But so Duke Nukem Forever, a retrospect looking into that one. Mm. And did it preserve all the bad flack it got?
No, I don't think
I don't think it did. People would disagree with us, but we'll discuss about that.
Me and Andy talked about that on the podcast we did ages ago, and he liked it as well, didn't he?
I did as well, so... We'll talk more about that next time. Okay, anyone we want to say hello to? We'll say hello to the Retro Sim again. Remember, if you're into retro games and retro games only, that's possibly one of the best places for you to go to. If you like all modern day like us, as well as visiting our site at www.rmifusion.com, Also recommend go see the Gamer Dads as well. They have frequent gaming evenings on all the latest games, including Black Ops 2.
Yes.
But they're a friendly little community as well. Any new channels people have found that might be worth a visit?
I found a really good British Let's Player, and he's called Necroscope A6. He does some really good Let's Plays.
Ah, nice. We'll have to check this guy out. We'll give him a shout on that one. So if you're ever listening to us, mate, that's a shout out to you. Anyone else?
Just the usual for me, I think. Yeah, shout out to Benway, Lord Morris Place 1975, Jim Place Games, all the regular YouTubers sort of thing.
Yep, we need to reach out to these people and get them on our site.
Yes,
that's what I've got. And also, people, we're now on iTunes thanks to beloved work from Andrew.
We need more reviews. We haven't got any at the moment.
So please, guys, give us your reviews. We're not going to ask for 5 stars all the time. Just give us a review, and we'll always read it out because it gives us things. We want you to sit there and say to us, say you're doing a good job, because it just inspires us to do more. And then if you sit there and say you're shite, then we'll probably ignore you.
Yeah.
But we can take criticism. That means we're going wrong somewhere. We need to have a look into it.
Yep.
Okay. So yes, please look on iTunes, look on Podomatic. If you don't have iTunes, just look up for the RMI Fusion Cast, and you should find us there. Anyway, that's it for this fortnight. That's a goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye for me.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
And we'll see you all soon.
Bye.
Let's see if we can get the order right this time. Yeah. Right, who went first last time? It was Malk went first.
Malk, Will, then me.
Right, so Will could go first this time.
Yep.
Then Andrew, and then Malk can go.
Yeah, all right.
All right, well, I've got a feeling we're going to cock this up.
So remember, it goes Malk, Will, then me.
No, it goes. No, you got it wrong already. It's Will, you, then Malk.
Oh.
You and Malk.
Right, so I'll play the tune then. Right, everyone happy so far?
Yeah,
cool.
I can't hear the tune.
Shut up.
Go on the website, look under my arc. I'll be the best.
I think there's something wrong. I think your speaker. I think my speaker's not working. I'm not hearing anything.
Outtake material off of you.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Fuck. I'll mess up.
And we'll see you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.